rocky coast of Maine to the Rocky Mountains and around the world on Republic Radio. This is Olaf Hagee substituting today for Bill Brumbaugh and the Proactive News. Bill is having some electrical problems today, so he asked me to take the show for the next 2 hours, and we'll be talking about some of the updates that I have on Comet Holmes and, of course, the strange things going on in the market and the economy. And we'll be covering some new information I have about comets and their prophetic significance, which I hope you guys will find interesting. You know, Bill's not much on prophecy, but I'm very interested in a lot of prophetic matters, and so we'll be covering those today since we have this opportunity, and I hope you all will appreciate this and give us a listen. Now, a few weeks ago, we were discussing on this program the subject of Comet Holmes and its significance for prophetic matters that related back to Comet Hyakutake and Comet Hale-Bopp. And I mentioned that there was another comet, Comet McNaught, that was also an important object in all of this. Well, it turns out there is a fifth comet that also has been going by as we speak, and that is Comet H.P. Tuttle. Now, Comet H.P. Tuttle is a very interesting object. It's a comet that was first seen in 1790, just as our nation was being founded and just as we were starting out the first term of George Washington. And it was next seen just before the Civil War, and it has been seen more or less regularly ever since. The only time they missed it on one of its visits was in 1953. What an interesting year that was. Wasn't that the year that the Bilderbergers were founded? And wasn't that the year that you know, a lot of interesting things happened, like Nelson Rockefeller redesigning the federal government for Dwight Eisenhower? Yeah, that was an interesting year. And by the way, wasn't that also the year that the CIA Robertson panel investigated UFOs? Secretly, of course, with J. Allen Hynek briefing them, a guy who supposedly was not an insider when we heard about him in the 1960s, but turned out to be, after all, a guy with top secret clearance. Oh, my, 1953, that wonderful year. Yes, indeed. Wasn't that also the year that the Cleveland Indians still had a chance to win the pennant or something? Well, anyway, betraying the fact that I once lived in Cleveland. Well, we're going to get into a lot of interesting stuff here on the show, and I think you're going to find it fascinating. I hope so. I try to make it as interesting as possible. And we're going to give you as much as I can an explanation for what's going on. I don't actually understand entirely what's going on here with all of these comets, but I do think I can see some patterns developing here, and one in particular that is extremely interesting, and we'll be getting into that after our break in a moment here. I want to remind you all that Bill is always in need of your assistance. You know, he lives off of your donations and contributions. It makes him able to do these shows and all the research that he does and get all the guests he'd like to get on the show. So I hope you all will go to theproactivenews.com and get on Bill's email list for his news reports and make a monthly contribution in support of that. And for those of you who are receiving it, I hope you will continue to make those contributions and to keep the Proactive News on the air and keep Bill viable. That's very important. Theproactivenews.com. Now, we're going to have a break here in just a moment, and it's been a while since I've hosted a show.
It's not a matter of if, but when. If it happens, you want to be ready to give your loved ones a fighting chance. Do not rely on someone else to come through for you at a time when it could be about life and death. Your best chance is Safe Castle Royal, the premier crisis preparedness buyers club out there. Members get everything at rock-bottom pricing with at least 20% off everything in our store all the time and free shipping to the lower 48. Emergency storage food, prefab shelters and safe rooms, and hundreds of other essential products will get you through the toughest of times. Right now, you can join the club for only $10, a one-time lifetime fee that gets you some of the best prices anywhere on preparedness products. Please use the coupon code CLUBRADIO when joining to receive your special membership price. Do it now. Go to SafeCastleRoyal.com. That's SafeCastleRoyal.com. Sign up and use the Club Radio coupon code or call 1-877-673-2394 and be on your way to peace of mind that comes with being prepared.
Who listening out there has an electric bill? Oh boy, I sure do. Well, what if I told you that if you live in Texas or New York State, that same electric bill can be a lot cheaper? Would you believe me? Well, you should, because EnergySwap.com can save you up at 20% on your electric bill. No joke. EnergySwap.com has rates as low as 10.99 cents per kilowatt. Now, there's no cost to switch. They've got flat rate plans and even award programs. When you switch your service to EnergySwap.com, nothing changes except the size of your bill. Enroll today and start saving money right now. It's Energy-Swap.com. Or you can call 888-238-6397. Again, that's 888-238-6397. Currently in Texas and New York only. Other states coming soon.
It's Christmas time, the season for giving. How would you like to save money on Christmas gifts this year and make money while doing it? Then Power Mall Global is here for you. Power Mall Global is unique. It's not an MLM and not an affiliate program. All you have to do is shop in any one of the 1,000-plus stores, including Sears, Officemax, Home Depot, Bed Bath & Beyond, JCPenney, Old Navy, and much, much more on www.powermallglobal.com and surprise your family with the perfect gifts. You'll be surprised on how much you save and get back in rebate checks for a percentage of your purchase. Power Mall Global is absolutely free to use. There's no cost to you, ever. Think of all the traffic and clutter the Christmas holiday brings. Think of the times the stores were out of that certain item that was perfect for your loved ones. Not going to happen anymore. It's very simple. Stay in the comfort of your own home. Click through 1,000 stores. Buy and save on what you want for the Christmas holiday and earn money while doing it. Go to www.powermallglobal.com and check out the millions of products that could be the perfect gift for you. That's www.powermallglobal.com.
Okay, we're back again. This is Olaf Hage. You can just call me Olaf if you want, O-L-A-F. That's a Norwegian name, by the way, for those who may not know. And I'm substituting for Bill Brumbaugh, who is having some electrical problems, and he will return next week, God willing, and the creek don't rise. You're listening to the Proactive News, of course. And I'm talking about this week an update on the Comet report, which I gave several weeks ago on this program with Bill. And I talked then about the Comet Hale-Bopp, Hyakutake, Comet McNaught, and Comet Holmes. And for those who may have missed that program, I'm going to recap a little bit of that and in the process emphasize some details that I hadn't paid quite the same attention to previously, because I've now seen a pattern that I did not see before thanks to the fifth comet. Sounds like a Bruce Willis movie, doesn't it? Well, anyway, that's a reference to the fifth element, of course. Now, look, we all know that there was a lot of publicity given to Comet Hyakutake and Comet Hale-Bopp back in 1996 and 97. But not so much publicity was given to certain details about what happened at that time. 1996, which was the year my wife passed away, while she was still alive, she was dying of cancer at the time, in March and April of that year, Comet Hyakutake made a close approach to the Earth. On the night of March 23rd, which was exactly 3 months before my birthday, as it turned out, on the night of March 23rd, there was a close approach of Comet Hyakutake to the Earth. And this was its, I guess, the closest it got. I happened to be able to step outside and take a look at it. Well, when I looked at it, I noticed that it covered pretty much the entire sky that I could see. But let me rephrase that a little bit. Sky I could see refers to specifically the area between my condo building where I live and a row of trees, and trees at one end and the road as it stretched out to my right at the other end. In other words, I have a narrow strip of sky I'm able to see. I want you to think about that for a second. There's just a narrow strip I'm able to see. Comet Hyakutake that night made its closest approach and was displayed across virtually the entire area of open sky I was able to see. So that going toward my left in front of the building was the head of the comet. Off to the right was the tail of the comet. And it fit just perfectly, like it was in a picture frame, that area in front of the building. I was able to just simply step outside, look straight up, and there was this gigantic display stretched across the heavens. If I held my arms open, I could barely hold it in my hand, so to speak. You know, they say, "What is it? Was it as big as a quarter at arm's length?" No, basically, it was big as everything at my arm's length. It just swept across the sky. It was the most spectacular thing in the heavens I've ever seen. And I say that, without any hesitation, having watched the skies for 50 years now. My father gave my brother and I a telescope back 50 years ago this past Christmas. And so this was just an amazing event for me. I've watched the skies. Astronomy's been a hobby of mine and cosmology for half a century. And I looked up at the sky and saw something I had never seen before, which is really just breathtaking. I couldn't believe what I was looking at. And most people didn't see it. It was, it was a little after midnight. I think it was a weekday night, and people just weren't paying all that much attention, I suppose, to the heavens. But I got to see this, and it was awe-inspiring. I mean, there's nothing like seeing a great comet come by. But everybody started touting Hale-Bopp. They were all excited about that because it was physically, as an object, a bigger thing. In other words, if you had it in your backyard, it would be a lot bigger, if you follow me. If you were weighing it on a scale somewhere. But I think Comet Hyakutake was about a mile in diameter, and Hale-Bopp was said to be about 40 kilometers or about 25 miles in diameter. So it was, it was a bigger object inherently. But seen with the naked eye, Hale-Bopp was nothing compared to Hyakutake. The head of Hyakutake was bigger than the entire comet Hale-Bopp with its tail and everything put together when I saw them. So, of course, I was watching from Maine, and that probably has something to do with it. But I looked out there, and I saw this, and I was just awestruck by it. It was an amazing object. And so I started paying attention to where these things were in the heavens. I got interested in what signs they were going through, what their paths were, how long they'd been in the heavens, and so forth. Well, on April 11th of 1996, Comet Hyakutake crossed the star Rosh Chatan in the head of the Medusa, which is the head of a Gorgon. It was one of three heads of a monster called the Gorgon, G-O-R-G-O-N. And I know that sounds like Al Gore. Now I'm going to really freak you out. It went right by a star called Al Ghul. But Al just means the in Arabic, so it's not all that important. But and unless he decides to run for the presidency, if it gets locked up between Hillary and Obama, I doubt that Al Gore is going to be a significant figure in the days to come here. But nevertheless, it went through this very peculiar and important area of the sky. And it's, there's a lot of things in the heavens to go by, and that was unusual, that Hyakutake would pass that spot in the heavens. There are, I guess, maybe 1,000 different signs and constellations and spots in the heavens of significance that a comet could cross. And so it was unusual that it crossed that particular spot. But even more unusual was that it crossed the star Rosh Chatan, or the head of Satan, in the sign of the Medusa. That was, kind of creepy. And it did so on April 11th of 1996. Well, that was creepy enough. And it, by the way, had originated in Argo the Ark. So Comet Hyakutake had come out of Argo the Ark about, I think that one was 4,000 or, 20,000 years ago. They have these huge times that they talk about for how long these things took to get here. And then the following year, on April 11th, Hale Bopp crossed the exact same star, Rosh Chatan, heading in a 90-degree direction from it. So it made a giant X over it with the two comets, 1 year apart on the exact same day. Now, the odds against that happening are 365 squared, that it would be the exact same day. That it would be the exact same star is, I don't know what the odds on that are. I mean, you get it gets freaky, humongously large at that point. So that got my attention. Then I got really amazed by something else that occurred that day. There was a fire in the Turin Chapel, deliberately set. Somebody called in advance and told them that there's going to be a fire in the Turin Chapel where the Shroud of Turin is kept. Which I believe to be the one of the four cloths that wrapped the body of Jesus, and or that covered him at one point or another, three around him and one that was over his face temporarily before they buried him. And that cloth, of course, was rescued that night, April 11th of 1997. Now, I had just come on the radio for the first time in March of that year, so I'm celebrating my 11th year coming up in a few weeks here on the radio, and I've done, I guess, about 1,000 hours of interviews and guest hosting and co-hosting since then. So I was just beginning kind of this adventure with you guys in terms of radio at that point, and it was amazing to see what was going on in the heavens here, and then it seemed to have some connection to something going on the Earth. And there is some hint that somebody may have taken a sample of the blood from the shroud that night. Because lo and behold, the following year, a group announced that they had cloned a body, a human, a male, and they had allowed the embryo to live for 18 days. And then they had, they say, destroyed it. No, I'm not saying they didn't destroy it. I'm not saying it was taken from the Shroud of Turin. I'm just saying that there's some strange things going on out there. Somebody set fire to the Turin Chapel to get access to the shroud, to get it out of there. And a whole bunch of reporters flooded into the cardinal's residence there where the shroud was laid out on the dining room table and were seen touching it. There's a photograph showing that. So something creepy was definitely going on that night. And it had to do with these comets crossing the head of Satan in the sign of the Medusa, one of the three heads of the Gorgon, in the hand of somebody called Perseus. Well, there's a lot more to this story, and we're going to get into that as we go forward here. And I know that you all are going to be following this with rapt attention, I hope so, as we go deeper into this and relate it to events happening this week in the skies connected with all of this. So I want you to stay tuned for that. And we'll get back in just about, I guess a couple of minutes here. We're going to take another commercial break. According to my clock, anyway. Well, maybe not. It says here we're supposed to be taking a break. But anyway, if we're not taking a break, I guess I'll keep talking. Comet Hale Bopp was obviously a spectacular object.
The The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing. But they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Okay, we're back. This is Olaf Hagee substituting for Bill Brumbaugh on the Proactive News. Bill will be back next week. He's having some electrical problems this week. And we're talking about the comets that have been coming by, five of them, five interesting comets in a fairly short period of time as cosmic history goes. And I was talking about Hale-Bopp and Hyakutake, which came by in 97 and 96, respectively. And they came by on April 11th and seemed to be connected to a rather interesting event that happened on the Earth, namely the Shroud of Turin almost being burned deliberately by somebody who apparently was trying to get the comet, trying to get the Shroud of Turin out of the Turin Chapel and into a cooperating cardinal's residence, where it was taken out of its reliquary, something that is rarely ever done, by the way, and laid out on his dining room table, which was absolutely outrageous, by the way. That from a scientific and a theological viewpoint, both, was an outrage that he would just lay it out on the dining room table. Remember, people examined the tiny little granite fragments and traced them back to the city of Jerusalem that are found on the shroud. They examined tiny little pollen grains and tracked the shroud from Jerusalem to Constantinople to Italy and so forth. To lay it out on the dining room table with crumbs or whatever from the evening dinner. I mean, that's kind of weird, to say the least, if not sacrilegious. If the cardinal believed, you have to wonder what the cardinal was thinking in doing this. And you don't have to wonder, however, though, what the people who started the fire were thinking. I wonder if there was a collusion here between the people who set the fire and the cardinal, so that this would take place. And obviously then he lets the news media in to walk around the dining room table, and you can see them reaching out and touching the surface of the shroud. And all it took was some double-faced tape or paste or something on the fingertip there to pick up material from the shroud. So I really wonder if there wasn't some sort of a plot, if you will, behind this series of events. Very suspicious. Now, back in the year 2006, the third comet in these five appeared, and that was Comet McNaught. And Comet McNaught was interesting because it didn't go anywhere near the Medusa or Rosh Chatan or Al Ghul, any of the stars in the Medusa's head. Instead, it went through the area between Scorpio and Libra. Now, I have to tell you what that is. In the old days, Libra was the claws of the scorpion, and Scorpio was a 60-degree sign of the heavens. It took up two full signs, so that the scales or balance of Libra were actually considered to be the claws of the scorpion, and the head of the scorpion, that is the forehead of it, would be the cusp or border between Scorpio and Libra, which most astrologers will tell you is on October 24th. Keep that date in mind. You're going to hear it again before we're through here. And this was the actual astronomical spot in the heavens, and it crossed through there. In effect, Comet McNaught hit a glancing blow off the forehead, if you will, of the scorpion. Now, the scorpion, I believe, and Libra represent Cain and his wife in the heavens. That is to say that astronomically that these two signs symbolize Cain and his wife, who I identify with Lulua or Lilith, the goddess of witches in some pantheons, if you will. And she is... she's a tough cookie, and I also identify her with the Medusa, whose forehead we've been talking about here with Comet Hyakutake and Hale Bopp. So I see a direct connection between these things, with Cain represented by Libra and the Medusa represented by Scorpio. So we have her, if you will, hit in the forehead three times by three comets. And then we have, a year later, we have this new comet, Comet Tuttle, that was first seen when the United States began back in 1790. This comet hit the head of Draco the Dragon. It went through Draco. Now, Draco's mentioned virtually by name, literally called Draco, in the Book of Revelation, chapter 12. And it talks about this great red Draco, or dragon, in the heavens, which tried to devour the child of the woman, Virgo, or the virgin of the heavens, which is symbolically represents Mary giving birth to Jesus. It talks about her son being caught up to heaven. All the symbolism is there. So we have this symbolic picture being painted in the heavens by this comet that first hits the head of Draco, the dragon, and then comes down between the Medusa and Andromeda, which is said to be the church in tribulation or in chains, and then goes down between Pisces and Aries, I think it is. But it crosses between, in other words, the lamb and the fish, which is interesting because that's the point where Jesus was crucified in terms of precession of the equinoxes. So Comet Tuttle, H.P. Tuttle.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
If your body isn't feeling too well these days, you're gonna start taking this hemp, I say, go to hempusa.org. You may not like what I'm about to say, but you know I'm gonna say it anyway. The government doesn't want the best for you. They keep you down, they keep you blue. They starve your body for all its nutrients. They won't let you grow industrial hemp. It really doesn't make any kind of sense when it's so healthy for the world and useful for you, my friends. I hope Mr. Bush will hear this song, for the heart of America wants this one. Go to hempusa.org. If you're a truther, an anarchist, a renegade, you only want things that God has made, go to hempusa.org. We offer free shipping anywhere in the States. Go to hempusa.org.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Okay, we're back again. This is Olaf Hagee substituting for Bill Brumbaugh on the Proactive News. Want to apologize for running into the breaks here. I'm not sure whether it's the Verizon clock that I got ticking right here in front of me, or whether the break times have changed or whatever, or I got the wrong ones written down here. But in any case, I'm trying to catch up to whatever changes have been made here, and I've made some adjustments. Hopefully in the second hour we won't be as off as we've been in the first hour here. I was talking about the connections here amongst the comets and the signs and the passages in Revelation and other things, and how they're all connected together. And Draco the dragon, of course, is identified as Satan, that old serpent, and so forth in Revelation. We know who he is, and we can identify that part of the heavens fairly easily, and we can see what Virgo is said to represent there in the book of Revelation in chapter 12. That obviously represents Mary, who stands for, if you will, the house of Israel giving birth to the Messiah. And those are pretty obvious symbols, and I don't know that anybody really disputes that all that much, although the Catholic Church tries to make it a little more precise than that, I guess. But the fact of the matter is that we are looking at some comets that are going by right now in our heavens. And Comet Tuttle made its closest approach on January 1st of this year and is currently passing by the Medusa and Andromeda and heading south toward the break between, I believe it's Perseus and Aries, symbolizing the spot where the period of Aries ended about 2,000 years ago, and the period of, or the age of Pisces, as they call it, began. Now, what these ages represent is that the precession of the equinoxes of the Earth, that is when the spring equinox occurs and what sign the sun is in at the time, that is what the background stars are, it takes a little over 2,000 years for the sun to pass through one of these areas. So the sun has been passing through Pisces and is now on the edge of about to go through into Aquarius at some point in the near future. Now, Aquarius is the fisherman, and Pisces are the fish of the fisherman. Does that sound like something significant? Yeah, I should think so. And so we're headed toward the cusp or the border between those two things here in terms of where the sun is located. On the same token, if you go back and you look at the cusp between Pisces and Aries, that was 2,000 years ago, and that was the end of, if you will, the Old Testament period, the Temple Age, and the beginning of the Christian era. And it was the time, of course, of the crucifixion and various other events. As precisely as I've been able to pin it down, and I could be mistaken about this, but about the time that John the Baptist came along preaching and Jesus said, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of heaven is at hand, that seems to be around 27, 28 or so A.D., that seems to be the time that the so-called Age of Pisces began. Now, there's some flux in this because some people divide the heavens up into even 30-degree portions, and some people reckon according to when the sun passes through a particular sign of the zodiac into a different sign. And so the signs are not drawn exactly on 30-degree marks. So as a consequence, there are two different ways to reckon it. And if you'll notice, the transition period between the Old Testament age, which I guess you could say technically came to an end in 70 or 71 when the temple building was dismantled, and the Christian era, which I guess you could argue began officially when Zechariah prophesied in the front of the temple there about the coming of John the Baptist to Jesus, somewhere in that period of about 72, 73 years or so, is the transition period, and that you've got a bunch of different things happening during that period astronomically as well as on the Earth. So what we need to look at here is how these signs are significant. But before I get into that, I want to give a kind of a point of reference to where I'm coming from here. I believe God created the heavens and the Earth. I believe that God pre-exists the entire universe and all of the universes that scientists claim to discover, if you follow me, that God is outside of time and space, and that there's nothing that's happening in this universe that he couldn't foresee. It says he's seen the end from the beginning in Isaiah. So I'm pretty confident that God isn't surprised by what we call a star or what we call a sign in the heavens. The Jewish tradition is that Seth, the son of Adam, was actually given the names of the stars and of the signs by God, or was inspired at least to name them. And that therefore, that what we see up in the heavens isn't named accidentally, but, if you will, on divine purpose. So I believe that what we see when we look up at the heavens, to the extent that it goes back to the original inspired names, and some of these have been changed, and I've made an effort to track these things down where they have occurred, I believe that when we go back to the original, we are looking at specific events that were, if you will, programmed into the heavens. And it talks about this in the Bible. It says in Genesis 1, it says that stars were made for signs and for seasons. Signs and for seasons. And seasons there is usually understood to refer to feast days, but signs, obviously, is intended to have some sort of prophetic significance, some sort of teaching value. It says, evening by evening, morning by morning, he teaches knowledge and so forth. There's a whole bunch of passages, and you know, you could get books on biblical astrology or biblical astronomy, to be more precise, that talk about all of these things. Now, modern Hoary astrology, which is where it's called sun sign astrology, it is based upon where the heavens happened to be in the course of precession around 150 A.D. when, in the years of Ptolemy, the guy wrote the Almanac of the Heavens and so forth. That obviously is out of date in terms of some of its chronological aspects, but what it does do is it preserves, if you will, the solar positions around the time of the beginning of Christianity, which is very interesting. Some of the measures that Ptolemy was using were actually before his time and come very close to the beginning of the Christian era. So that a lot of the things that you see in what we might call newspaper astrology are actually timed in some way to the beginning of the Christian era in a kind of backward sort of way. Not that they intended to do that, but it just turns out that way. Now, there's another kind of astrology, which is known as sidereal astrology, which is actually based upon where the stars really are. And because of precession of the equinoxes, for example, the cusp of Libra and Scorpio is no longer October 24th, but has moved to a different position about 28 days later. So I think that's right. I don't know. I get confused about these things sometimes. But anyway, it's 28 days different from October 24th. And so what I'm about to say here is going to sound weird, but just bear with me for a moment. Remember, God sees the end from the beginning according to the way I look at things. So, therefore, that means that on October 24th, God was looking at a spot in the heavens which corresponded to the time when Jesus was crucified, that at that time it was the cusp between Cain and his wife, if you will, the head of the Medusa. Okay, on that day, the fifth of our comets here, Comet Holmes, exploded. I shouldn't say exploded. It's hard to say what it did. Scientists aren't quite clear what happened. But it gave off a lot of dust, and it looks like it's stone. They're saying that it's dust like the dust the Earth is made out of. It's granite-type material, okay? It's got silicon in it and other things. And it exploded at this point on October 24th, where the astrologers of today, the pagan astrologers, if you want to call them that, would date the cusp of Libra and Scorpio. Now, I'm going to look at it this way. It meant something 2,000 years ago. It also means something today. I'm getting a call here. Hold on a second. Okay, so that was Bill checking in, letting me know he was okay, because I was kind of worried about him and his electrical problems there. So the report on Bill is he's fine. He sounds okay. And I was very concerned about him for a while there. Okay, so on October 24th, this comet explodes. I want to read to you from the February, that's the current issue, February Sky and Telescope magazine about this event. They say in there, it was surely one of the most spectacular, yet at the same time most bizarre, astronomical sights of the era. Okay? And then secondly, they say this about the explosion. This was far and away the most dramatic change ever observed during such an event. In other words, when comets sometimes flare up, this was far and away the most dramatic one ever seen in history. An absolutely amazing, colossal explosion in the heavens from any astronomical standpoint. Let me explain what was going on here. This object was out beyond Mars. In fact, its orbit keeps it out there. This object orbits between Mars and Jupiter, and it explodes in such a way that its brightness increased between half a million and a million fold. I think they're still trying to calculate exactly how bright it actually got. But its size got larger. It swelled up to the point where its apparent size, and it could be seen suddenly with the naked eye, which was not normally would be able to be done, it swelled up to be four times the diameter of the full moon. Think about that, okay? An absolutely spectacular explosion. And not only did it swell up to be four times the apparent diameter of the full moon as seen from the Earth now, but it continued to swell up until its actual size, the swollen mass of these particles as they spread out from comet Holmes, were larger than the sun, making it the largest object in the solar system. Now, that is an incredible event. And, I mean, the astronomers are beside themselves trying to explain all of this. Astronomically, I think that this event occurring on the cusp of Libra and Scorpio, as seen by modern pagan astrologers, was giving them a sign that God was doing something. He was exploding, if you will, an object on the head of Scorpio, which is another form of Lilith, the Medusa, the wife of Cain, if you will, perhaps Babylon the Great, the false prophetess of Revelation, whatever you want to call this, whatever the symbol is you want to attach to it, it's a negative symbol. Paul calls Scorpio the stinger of death in Corinthians, I think it is, in Corinthians 15, 1 Corinthians 15. So, oh, death, where is thy sting? You know, this is a negative object in the heavens. This is a sign that stands for death and evil, and it has a feminine aspect. And that's definitely true for pagan astrologers who see Scorpio as a feminine sign and Libra as a masculine sign. So it looks to me as though we've got here three hits, at least, that hit on this Medusa-type phenomena, this female head of the triple-headed Gorgon. Now, if you've heard of the satanic trinity of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet, well, we got Draco got a hit there, and we certainly got the false prophetess getting a hit, if you want to regard her as the Medusa. And I would say three hits because, as we're going to discover, Holmes didn't stop. It continued around, and it ran into Perseus. In fact, it was in Perseus at the time. This explosion occurred as it was nearing the brightest star in the sign of Perseus, which is the heart of Perseus, if you will, and it arced around on the top of the head of the Medusa, and this past week entered into the Medusa's head, and on January 22nd, that's the day of the stock market break, folks, it hit Al Ghul, the forehead of the Medusa, and it is now continuing down through the Medusa's head and headed down around, is going to loop around and go into the side of Auriga the shepherd. So it started at Ares the lamb, went into Perseus, hit the head of the Medusa this week, and is going through it right now, hit Al Ghul on January 22nd, and is going to loop around and go into the sign of Auriga the shepherd. Now look, Aries the lamb, the shepherd, Perseus, which relates to Perez, if you will, the house of David, the house of the Messiah in the tribe of Judah. I'll tell you something, these names don't look accidental to me, and these events don't look accidental either. I think something's going on here. Well, we'll have a little break here, and we'll be getting back to you in a couple minutes. And you're listening to the Proactive News. I'm Olaf Hagee, substituting for Bill Brumbaugh. And we'll be back after this set of messages, which is coming up shortly here. I keep trying to figure out where the breaks are, and my clock is either off or something's going wrong here. Anyway, at least Bill's okay, and we can be content that he's going to be back next week, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, ready to do the show. So look forward to that. Don't forget to contact him at theproactivenews.com and get a contribution over there and help him to get his newsletter out and do all the wonderful things that Bill does. So Bill can really use your help, and I hope you'll do that. He's certainly certainly grateful for all of the help that you send him, to help keep him on the air and keep his news reports coming out, which are just amazing. I mean, he gets stuff from Europe and all kinds of places that most of us normally tap into. So it's a very valuable resource, and I hope you'll subscribe to that. That's proactivenews.com. Brumbaugh's.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. Is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Okay, and we're back again here, and I'm still missing the breaks, but hopefully I'm taking notes here, so we'll do better, I hope, in the second hour. I want to make sure that that we understand the situation here. We got five comets. all of which have been visible either with the naked eye or easily through binoculars, in the case of Tuttle here. Five comets which are coming by the Earth here in clusters, two about 10, 11 years ago, and three here over the last year, and two of which are in the sky as we speak. That is Tuttle and Holmes. And Tuttle and Holmes are making some very interesting moves, as I mentioned. What I did was I sat down and I charted where all of these things are going. And I looked to see what was happening to them, and I discovered that these five comets were creating a pattern in the heavens. Now, remember what I said about the Gorgon. The Gorgon is this three-headed monster that Perseus is slaying, and he cuts off the head of one of these three heads, the Medusa, which is what you see up there in that sign, has the head of Satan, it says. But remember, it's a three-headed monster, and it relates to this idea of a satanic trinity. Perseus is the U.S. added there is an ending, a grammatical ending, for what is essentially Percy. And Perezi really means, in Hebrew, it means my Perez. Now, you know, that's an interesting idea here, because it means that man of Perez who is mine and who is the my there. Well, I assume that God is overseeing all of this. He certainly set the comets and the stars in motion, stretched out the heavens like a curtain. So I would regard that as a messianic symbol. I'm thinking now, Perseus cuts off the head of this evil being, and he holds it up and so forth. And I'm thinking, who do we know who did that, who was at the house of Perez? Well, the answer is King David. And who did he cut off the head of? He cut off the head of Goliath, who, as I recall, had a bunch of brothers. In other words, was just one of the heads of that family, if you will. This idea of a multi-headed beast or evil being, and you cut off one of the heads, the others scatter, somehow or other that there is an embodiment in one particular one at any particular time. Doesn't that sound familiar? Seven heads of the dragon or seven heads of the beast, and one now is, and one was, and one will come, and so on, one at a time. I think we've got a connection here to a biblical prophecy that's supposed to be fulfilled in the last days. And lo and behold, here we are, presumably, at least as I would count them, in the last days. I know Bill wouldn't agree with that, but nevertheless, I think that there is something going on out there, and I think we cannot ignore the fact that there are some absolutely astronomical events. This is the greatest outburst of a comet ever seen in the case of Comet Holmes. Nothing like this has ever happened before. It's totally unprecedented, and it says far and away the brightest explosion of this kind that they have ever witnessed. So this is a once in an astronomical event. Back.
With recent internet